so I have a question for you just about like a phenomenon of our youth, if you will.
I love many phenomenons.
Okay, you remember themed days in school with in like grade or middle school? Like, and I'm talking everything from like some sort of spirit week for football or something, but also like when they'd be like pajama day.
Crazy like hair day.
Yeah. This is what I want to ask. Did anyone fucking enjoy that? I hated it.
I think I did. I didn't like I didn't like spirit day because I've never like had a lot of school spirit.
Sure.
But like, I don't know. Crazy hair day was fun. Do something like wild that like it gave you permission to do something a little unexpected. I think that's why I also liked when we got to wear our Halloween costumes to school, because it was like permission to present yourself differently from what people were expecting. So like in that way, I did enjoy them.
See, I like that about Halloween as a general rule, but I didn't enjoy doing Halloween at school, like generally. And I really like in grade school and middle school really did not enjoy any of these like themed days. Like to me, it made me feel very self-conscious.
Just like more attention, like everyone's like, sizing up each other's choices.
Yeah. And if there was anything that involved like changing your clothes at school, I was like very against that. And like that made me feel weird. And that's like that's a part of Halloween I didn't like.
I always had paranoia about losing my original clothes or my costume because of my conscientiousness score.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And I don't know. I'll say like in high school when we had like some themed shit, because I went to like all girls private Catholic, I was usually more for that because you had the benefits of being out of uniform, which was nice. And then I going to school with all girls, I feel like it really gave me permission to do whatever the fuck I wanted, and I did not feel self-conscious.
I was jealous of that sometimes, that you had like a little less maybe patriarchy, even though it was Catholic, but like not having boys there just like makes it so different.
I'll be honest, like I think most people should be jealous. And I think about that whenever I tell people I went to private Catholic all girls, who like that's really a seems like a really like foreign concept or really removed from anything their experience. I think everybody has this archetype of it being really terrible. And people are like, oh my God, how was that? And I'm always like 10 out of 10, loved it, would do it again. And people were like, really? And I was like, yes. You know, like, I don't think truly in, I mean, you say like the patriarchal thing in the Catholic sense, like I don't think in terms of like teachings about certain things that it really felt more or less patronizing than the shit that people fed you in public school. Like it was a different lens, but like at that age, people are just telling you how you're supposed to do things based on their own rules. And like the rules at public and Catholic school are different, but everyone's still telling you, you absolutely can't have sex, like in both communities.
They are.
So I don't know. It's just a real vibe. But yeah, I felt like I had the freedom. But I just, when I think about themed days in grade school, it really, ooh, it stresses me out. I hated it so much.
Like, wish that I could go back and do like Halloween at our elementary school again, where we change into our costumes and then we go and play kick the can in the gym in our costumes. And then we do the parade around the neighborhood. It was my favorite day.
I liked we did play like games. It was a fake ass day. It was really fun.
And
the day was fun. I just didn't need to change my clothes at school. I didn't like that.
Do you remember that the cafeteria served funnel cakes on Halloween that were like supposed to look like spider webs? Like that was a meal choice, was funnel cake.
Wow. I didn't, but wow.
Where was Michelle Obama?
Where was Michelle Obama protecting our kids from this sugar as an entree? Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Yeah, welcome. Soul searching to find their true self.
I mean, that is this podcast. So.
It's basically an SVU episode with help from talking rats.
This month in December, please stop douching your genitals. Who's participating in this study that's like, here, for like the $30, I like came in this cup so 30 different women could taste it. I'm like, who's that guy?
So it fit like a tiny belly shirt with like cap sleeves. And when the ambulance came, like that's what he was wearing.
you're saying all sorts of crazy shit now.
I'm gonna peak in high school and then die.
I do believe in fairies. I do.
It's franchising our platform. We're franchising it, okay? Welcome to Why You Like This, the weekly podcast where we dissect themed days in grade school. Some people being real self-conscious, some people thriving.
Some people fully enjoying them.
Fully enjoying it. And just we noodle on whatever, you know, we're thinking about, any given topic, any given week, pop culture, pseudoscience, real science, little psychology, human behavior, all in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan pounding a funnel cake in the cafeteria and, you know, recording in Los Angeles.
And that's Austin Williams feeling self-conscious in the gym in her costume, but now in Chicago.
That's me. Hey.
Well, I'm sorry that you're so self-conscious about that. I never thought of those as high stress situations.
That's interesting to me too, because like I think about some of these periods and like we were like best of friends in these years. And I don't think we ever like dissected this or talked about it. Why would we have? I think we wouldn't have, because I was so self-conscious. I'd be like, I can't address this.
And I didn't know that you felt that way.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool that we had really different experiences with that or whatever. Yeah, I hated it. I was like, don't make me wear my hair crazy. I don't want to be judged for this. Like, I don't want to be a part of this thing. I wonder if teachers like that or hated it.
Do you wear green on St. Patrick's Day as an adult?
No.
I intentionally try not to and was very upset one year when I accidentally wore like an army green jacket to a restaurant on St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, if it happens, it happens, but I'm not like actively avoiding it, which it sounds like you are, but like I don't proceed with that with intention, because I would just also say like I went, you know, in my younger years as someone who had like a very colorful wardrobe to then someone who worked in retail so long that clothes became unfun, that my clothing, you know, collection is so black, like just so much black and gray clothing that like I don't have options. Like,
that accident would never happen.
I'm like, I would never have woken up today and put on a color. One time I was staying with my sister and my brother-in-law in Wisconsin. I came down the stairs and I had like a red shirt on under, you know, like a black jacket. And my brother-in-law was like, oh, I love that shirt on you. It's so, and I went, you like it because it's not black? And he was like, yeah, I do think that's what it is. I was like, okay, well, we've confirmed that this is all anyone's used to. But we're actually not talking about clothes tonight. In fact, we're talking about something really different than clothes. Some might argue the exact opposite of wearing clothes.
And I didn't see this segue coming, but I'm just going to go ahead and say nice job.
I honestly also saw this segue not coming at all, and yet the moment presented itself. So on the note of absolutely not talking about clothing, but maybe a little bit more on that later, we today, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening, are talking about nudism, or as some people call it, naturism.
Oh, that's right.
Dun, dun, dun. And also, if you're on Wikipedia, they say naturism. They say, like, also sometimes referred to as nudism. And I was like, oh, well, I'm seeing some preferences. Okay.
What do they call themselves?
Well, we will actually for sure get into that and what they call us clothed people.
Oh,
that's
my God.
More on
Gentiles,
that later. I'm hyped.
Basically.
Honestly, Gentiles. What's your quick, like, thermometer read on naturism or nudism? Do you remember when you first were introduced to this as, like, a concept, like how old you were, what your just perspectives are or thoughts, beliefs? What do you know?
I feel like I knew about it as a little kid, and I feel like some of my earlier like exposure to that idea came from like probably just television, or like I know that there's like some references in The Simpsons.
Sure. I was totally going to mention The Simpsons too, as it really is, I think, our springboard for a lot of things.
Indeed it is. Yeah, I became like slightly aware as a child, but then in adulthood, like when I was watching all of those like TLC documentaries and like finding the YouTubes of like the people who are in love with objects, I did also come across some like naturalist videos and watched a few of them. I didn't find that much information, but I just remember seeing like all of these people who live together in this like beautiful compound, and they're all naked, and the reporter is visiting. And I just kept thinking that like that's well and good for them, but I would be maybe concerned about like sitting down or also like being cold. I don't know. I feel like there's like temperature issues. I think that I would feel self-conscious for like a day and then fine. But I do feel like nudism was very much more like on my radar, like as a kid and maybe a teen. And I've like not heard anything really about it since.
That's actually a really good point that I hadn't totally clocked. But yeah, I think I thought a lot more about, you know,
nudism, naturism, whatever.
As a kid and like a preteen or whatever, and definitely introduced to it in a pop culture way that was truly usually rooted in comedy or making fun of it.
Always, you know, the butt of the joke.
Simpsons stuff. I even feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there some sort of like that 70s show moment that people were like, they're nudists next door or something?
There was definitely a moment. And there's also like a Bob's Burgers episode from not that long ago, I believe.
Yeah, I feel like it's used a lot as like kind of just like a comedic trope of like, these people are nudists. Or
yeah,
like
a plot vehicle to help like someone have to get to know someone or have to like confront an uncomfortable issue.
Or just end up in a funny scenario where some people all of a sudden end up around a bunch of naked people and like, we didn't know this was like a naked area, you know? So there's certainly been, I think, just like a lot of comedic vibes about it, but not serious vibes. And I'm sure there was some TLC programming on like dissecting nudists that, you know, exists out there, because TLC is, you know, always going for it. And I will just say, as, you know, a single person who has, you know, just been Jay chilling during these corona times at home by myself, I have seen the most naked people during this time, with the exception of when I watch Normal People on Hulu. So,
yeah. No, I am at home when it's not cold, often like wearing very little clothing just because it's more comfortable.
I actually don't find being naked more comfortable than being clothes, and not from a self-conscious perspective, but truly from like a comfort perspective.
Yeah, it depends on how hot it is, but I feel clothing. And I don't necessarily want like every couch's texture like on my bare ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, let me add just one more thing. I forgot about this. And I would be remiss to not like mention a religious thing. So I did.
Of course, you have to. You're our religious representative on this show. If
religious
anyone hasn't
expert.
Picked that up yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one who went to Catholic school anyway.
I had like a worship leader once who, you know, who I will not name right now.
Okay.
Who had like designated like naked time with their young children, where they like ran outside in the backyard nude. And that was like a ritual every couple days.
That was a very naked family.
It was. Yeah, that's all. Just had to add that, because that's a person that I did know who kind of practiced this.
This actually, I feel like, is a real thermometer read that would really color people's like feelings about nudity, or like comfortability with some sort of nudism, right? I am the opposite, like of a product of nudism, in that like my household,
they would never
very like buttoned up, like not in like, I hate to say like conservative or like buttoned up, because that makes it sound like we aren't fun, and we're actually a very fun crowd of people, but the thought of my dad walking around the house without a shirt on, it would never happen.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, I cannot
It's just like, that's not who he is. Mm-mm. My dad would never like walk through the house without a shirt on. Like one time when police showed up at our house in the middle of the night, my dad like, you know, like I feel like some people would like run to the door in some kind of capacity. My dad comes down like he has a shirt on. He has put on pants like the man, you know what? It's just like he would never go through the house like, even at 3 a.m, like not clothed.
Yeah.
That's just not the vibe. And I feel like the like, you know, somebody's dad in like shorts, shirtless around the house is really not weird. Mm-mm. But to me, it actually is so foreign that like, I can't imagine like having like family naked time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I understand.
And I think that, like, probably everybody's experience with, like, how naked your family is at home probably, I don't know, affects how you feel about nudity in general.
I agree, definitely. And, like, how you responded to your family's nakedness or lack of.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, to be honest, wow, I'm not trying to put my parents on blast here, but if somebody were to stroll through the house without pants on, it would it's more likely be my mom than my dad, for absolutely, okay? So, God bless. Listen, we're a really fun family, but we're pretty clothed. So, all of that said, let us get into kind of a general Wikipedia-esque definition of this, all right?
Take it there.
And we are going to start with naturism, because that is what Wikipedia wants to start with and call it, okay? So naturism is a lifestyle of non-sexual nudity and the cultural movement which advocates for and defends that lifestyle. Okay.
Okay.
Both may be referred to, and I say both being like the lifestyle and the cultural movement, as nudism, which I feel like is really what I've heard it referred to as, right? So though the two terms are like largely interchangeable, nudism emphasizes the practice of nudity, whereas naturism highlights an attitude favoring harmony with nature and the respect for the environment into which that practice is integrated.
Okay. It's like reasoning behind it, values, etc.
Totally. And so this is that like non-sexual nudity lifestyle and cultural movement, perhaps a little bit like syntactical disparity, right? And that said, naturists come from a range of philosophical and cultural backgrounds. There's no single naturist ideology, which I think is interesting. Naturism may be practiced individually within a familial group, but clearly not the Williams family. Or social context or in public, okay? So, ethical or philosophical nudism has a long history with many advocates of the benefits of enjoying nature without clothing. Okay. At the turn of the 20th century, organizations emerged to promote social nudity and to establish private campgrounds and resorts for that purpose. Since the 1960s, with the acceptance of public places for clothing optional recreation, which is one of my favorite ways it's been referred to, individuals who do not identify themselves as naturist or nudist have been able to casually participate in nude activities. So, like, think nude beaches, right?
Yes, this happened also in, like, the Nudist Colony documentary I watched that may or may not have been TLC.
Okay,
they were, like, encouraging the interviewer to do it. And, like, on the second day, he did, like, one, like, naked meal with all of them.
Interesting. All right, all right. So nude recreation opportunities also just like vary widely, right? So you mentioned this like meal sharing somewhere, but you could be in an isolated place known mainly to locals, you know, to officially designated nude beaches, like I mentioned, or parks, right? And here's the thing. None of this is to be confused with naturalism or nature worship. And truly, well, that's another episode.
Whoa,
God bless.
Nature,
you know?
Worship. Okay. I'll just put a pin in it.
Just jot that down, okay? It's another episode. But I also wanted to holler this out. So at the 14th Congress of the International Naturist Federation in 1974, they defined naturism as a way of life in harmony with nature characterized by the practice of communal nudity with the intention of encouraging self-respect, respect for others, and for the environment. And when I read this, I went, well, that's a nice definition, but wait right there. What is the Congress of the International Naturist Federation? I have some questions. So allow me to shed a little light on this group. So the International Naturist Federation, or, you know, it started in France, a lot of this, like this Congress, and there's a lot of French talk here. And so there are a lot of French pronunciations. And guys, I'm going to do my best with some of this stuff, but I'm not going to try and pronounce this
she
one in French
for you. She is an American.
It's not my strong suit. And it's just not.
That's all right. We'll try.
But the INF, or if I were to give you the French pronunciation, the FNI, because, you know, we got to mix stuff up, right? Okay. It's the global umbrella organization representing official naturist societies. So
this whole hierarchy of people that I'm like fully unaware of, and somebody's like 100%. The king of the new, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, come again, what? So yeah, let's talk about this membership. So the INF is made up of representatives of national naturist organizations, and the rules of the federation limit membership to one national society. So, you know, you can't have like six different societies in the US join this group. It's like you get one, right? And to bypass this rule, the French and English-speaking Canadian societies, of course, formed a partnership for the purpose of participating in the INF. So Canada's, you know, they're doing some communal double dipping and getting in there, but they've got a couple, right?
And maybe we can get Mexico and it can be the North American Nudist Alliance or whatever.
Well, I mean, somebody needs a NAFTA, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But listen, well, we'll get into who's represented here, I promise. But this also stopped me in my tracks for a second. I was like, wait a minute. So some federations have independent youth organizations, which are currently not affiliated to the INF directly. On the European level, youth representatives, the European Naturist Youth, or the ENY, have elected a youth committee to speak towards the INF and the European Naturist Assembly, or the UNAT, if you will. Its task is to coordinate events and promote communication and exchange between young naturists. The rules of the INF provide for direct membership in the INF if there is no affiliated national naturist organization in the country of residence. So speaking of those countries of residence, listen, folks have been repped in this group on six continents, people. So in Africa, I only found documentation of South Africa being involved. They have, you know, the South African National Naturist Association. In Asia, it's also a shorter list. India, Israel, Taiwan, and Thailand. Europe is large, as you might expect.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, Austria and Belgium and Bulgaria and Croatia and Denmark and Finland and Germany and France and Ireland and Italy and Lithuania and Luxembourg and like on and on and on. Okay. And the United Kingdom, they're in there, if that matters. Spain, Portugal, Norway, the Netherlands. Like, it's a long
Mostly
list. Europe is about
everybody.
It.
Yeah.
In terms of North America, we've got Canada, and they've got, you know, there are three groups that are all homies. The Dominican Republic, Mexico, and the United States.
Okay.
In South America, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, and Uruguay. And in like Australia / Oceania, Australia is represented, and New Zealand was, but the New Zealand Naturist Federation Inc. withdrew in 2019. Oh. I don't have information on that. I'm just telling you they left the clan. Okay. Oh. They were like, we're on our own island promoting these Lord of the Rings tourists. We'll do our own nudity. Okay. I mean, honestly, shout out to Peter Jackson for creating like an 11-hour commercial for tourism in New Zealand. Okay. Listen. Shout out
I
to
just
New Zealand.
Realized you said 11-hour commercial. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I stand by it. So this World Congress, they have held it every year since 1951.
Is everyone naked for it?
I would assume there's a lot of nudity at this conference. That feels like
I hope it's in
the
a
vibe.
Warm
I don't
place.
Know that factually, but it just seems, well, it's a conference. It might be indoors. You know, they're at the Congress.
Crank
but I feel
up.
Like if they're upholding their values, you know, they're naked there. It's like
for
their
sure.
vibe. The first one in 51 was held in London, and we really see it pepper around Europe mostly. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Switzerland, France, Austria, Germany, back to Great Britain, Denmark, more Germany. A lot of Germans and French folks up in this, but it's danced around and been to many places. And I will say in 2016, New Zealand did host it. So I don't know, maybe they had a bad experience. We can't know. Unfortunately, 2020 was postponed due to COVID. So,
well, and then that's a whole other set of circumstances with,
oh, yeah,
you know, covering your orifices.
That, I mean, truly, it was supposed to be in Slovenia, but you know,
sorry, Slovenia.
Sorry, Slovenia. So, more about these orgs, right? We got to know. So, many contemporary naturists and naturist organizations advocate that the practice of social nudity should not be linked with sexual activity. I'm like, okay.
And that's a hard one to break for outsiders, right? I think.
Right. And so some recent studies show that naturism can help grow self-esteem and thus have a positive impact on a well-balanced sexuality, too.
This is me advocating for everyone to get naked in their homes a season ago or something.
Yeah. This was your platform.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I heard this and it's like this kind of version of non-sexual nudity, I'm like, okay, this to me is like, free the nipple. This
exactly.
is
exactly
like,
we need to like see our bodies so that we like are comfortable with them and know what they are and we're not like ashamed of them because we're hiding them all the time. I feel that.
Well,
I do.
And saying that you need to hide them or cover them kind of inherently sexualizes them. Like women's or like, you know, folks with like functioning mammary glands, right? Mm-hmm. Like breasts are sexualized. I feel like largely because we're like, don't look at those.
Yeah.
Nobody says that about men. Mm-mm. And so, like, we're not concerned about the non-functioning mammary glands, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, we did that. Like, we did that, you know?
Yeah, we did.
So, and I think about this, too. I mean, shout out to Normal People twice in this episode. I enjoyed the Hulu series. Anyone I would suggest it to. But have you seen this, Jamie?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a great watch. Really recommend. But one of the things I love about it is that there is both, like, so my sister and my brother-in-law told me, like, they were like, you should watch this. And I was like, okay. And I watch so little television, it's hard to convince.
Mm-hmm.
Got roped into it. It was a pandemic watch for me. I enjoyed it. But my sister goes, yeah, there's a lot of nudity in it. And I was like, great. And she's like full frontal nudity. And I was like, great. And then my sister goes, full frontal male nudity. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm saying this because I'm really here for, like, male nudity being balanced more with female nudity, because I think that nudity, especially like in film or television or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm really here for it when it's like empowered or makes sense with the story and isn't just like gratuitous, like here, tits for tits sake or something. And it's usually tits. Like, that's usually what nudity in a film is, right?
It is typically, yes.
Right. And I'm just saying I'm here for more of this. But thinking about that and those being kind of my thoughts, I was like, am I like maybe here more for nudity if it's like, quote unquote, like considered art than it's like walking down the street?
And well, I think it's beyond that. Even sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think like maybe I thought like, yeah, maybe I might be because that's just like more my norm and what I'm comfortable with. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that like what you're saying about it feeling more palatable if it's like, quote, art is definitely like a thing that a lot of people feel. But also like even within art, here comes like art school Jamie for a second. But, you know, the male gaze is like what most art and film is viewed through. And so like there's a difference between like looking at like a nude woman or like actually seeing that character. And I think that we don't objectify like men's bodies in the same way, obviously, that we objectify women's. And so male nudity hits different and it feels like almost jarring because it's like not something that we're used to seeing like as an object to like be desired because we hardly ever see it. And if we do, it's like not necessarily in the context of like being a voyeur at a man, like that's pretty uncommon. And so I think like anything recently that's come out where there's like full frontal male nudity, like there's like articles about it and like people are talking about it and people are like, oh my God, like there's a peen in this movie. And it's just like not a big deal if like someone's vagina is out. And so I just really think it comes back to like male gaze stuff. And that's why it feels so different.
And there are also, like, there are hierarchical things, like, to put on art school caps for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, what is, you know, what's considered art and, you know, this, like, some sort of avant-garde film where there's, like, nudity and it's French and in subtitles is, I think, perceived different in this country versus, like, you know, Miranda having sex on Sex in the City, you know?
Or like a slasher porn, like someone does their first ever movie that's low budget and they have to show their tits for no reason.
Right. And I think it's just, speaking of Sex in the City, I actually think this is an interesting one because it's, okay, so it's about for women. And listen, the things that are problematic about Sex and the City and didn't age well is really a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
But I'm just here to call out, like, you see everyone naked of those four women except for Carrie Bradshaw.
And it's kind of noticeable.
Well, and it's just like, it's never done. And she's kind of like, she's our protagonist. She's the voice, the narrator, like through which we're experiencing all of this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost interesting. Cause I'm like, okay, I feel like they made this choice because it's like, well, if we really like want to respect Carrie and have her be the lead, she'll never be naked on the show.
I don't know for sure, but I feel like I heard that there was like, she pushed for no nudity, like in her contract.
Yeah, and I'm here for that. Like, be naked if you want to and be naked if you don't. But what an interesting choice then to have the lead be someone who, in a show called Sex in the City, or is it In the City or And the City? This is one of those.
We're going to have to.
I have questions. This
quickly.
We're going to have to Google that. It's one of those, what's it called? Like the Bernstein Bears? It's Sex and the City. Yep. See, it's one of those ones that everybody, there are people though who like adamantly demand that it's in the city. And yeah, Mandela stuff. Thank you. That's a word I couldn't find. Anyway, it's not the point. But I'm like, yeah, if you're going to be on that show and the whole premise is like, you know, a lot of sex, and then you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this, but absolutely no nudity. I just think it's interesting. I don't think they would have let any of the other characters do that.
Well, they wouldn't. And it kind of puts her on. I can see it as like a choice that was intentional, even if maybe she didn't ask for that. I could see in the way that you said, like covering tits, like makes them like special and erotic. Like maybe her character is actually like easier to sexualize if you don't see her body. And I don't know that that's true. But then also I think about like how different would the show be? Like if she was naked, it would feel.
I think it would be really different,
more
to be honest.
Intimate and vulnerable. Like you'd have a completely different relationship with her character. I even feel like some of her dialogue would have to be written differently.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, wow, all of those choices just because of clothes or no clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that this is different, but I'm thinking about like girls and like seeing like a main character's like naked body like pretty often does just create a different relationship between the viewer and that character, and their 100%. Narrative style changes.
Yeah. I think that's really real.
Hmm.
I felt that way about Normal People because it was like some of the most realistic like sexual encounters I've seen in a long time.
You told me about that, and that's so refreshing.
I was like, yeah, this is actually what sex looks like in like certain circumstances, right? It was like the awkwardness of it existed, and I think sometimes like in movies and television, sex is so like
choreographed,
for lack of a better word, like choreographed, but like, which, you know, this was obviously choreographed too, and you have to do that so like actors feel like safe and comfortable, but it's done in a way that feels like, quote unquote, like way more like smooth, you know what I mean? Like, unless it's like truly a comedy, no one's like, you know, stuck in their pants.
Yeah, we don't see that enough. That's a moment we need to see more.
Yeah, that stuff, if it's done, it's just portrayed like as like a weird comedic moment and it's supposed to be funny. But I'm like, that's also just like really normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Big fan. I'm a fan of Normal People. I enjoyed it. That's all I'm going to say. But like various social, cultural, historical reasons, you know, the lay public, if you will, the media, and many contemporary naturists and their organizations have or present a simplified view of the relationship between naturism and sexuality, so some folks say. And current research has begun to kind of try and explore this complex relationship. Mm-hmm. So the International Naturist Federation explains, each country has its own kind of naturism, and even each club has its own special character, for we too, human beings, have each our own character, which is reflected in our surroundings. So I was like, okay, like I think there's a lot to unpack here, that like nudity is really different. And to that point, the way nudity is even on like television and film from different countries is different. Or sexuality, too.
Definitely.
So throughout all this explanation, I did just want to get to a little bit of a difference between us and the naturists, right? The term textile, or
what?
Textilist, refers to non-naturist persons' behaviors.
What an incredible facility on Gentile.
Mm-hmm. So it could be like, oh, the textile beach starts at the flag.
Oh.
Or my personal favorite that I came across, they are a mixed couple. He is a naturist and she is a textile.
And like not a like photograph. A textile list, just like a textile.
Well, there's some variation here, again, country to country, where it seemed like in Great Britain, they would never use the term textilist. They would only say textile, but there's like a little bit of both being used. One of my favorite things, too, I came across like a naturist man, like fully naked on the beach. And then he was next to like a very cute girl, woman,
mm-hmm.
Wearing a bathing suit. And it was like a naturist and his textile friend. And I was like, what? This is so goofy.
That is really goofy.
Some naturists, it was, but some naturists, I will say, have avoided using this term or terms due to perceived negative or derogatory connotations.
I mean, a little. I could see that. It's not as bad as how
such a textile.
It's not as bad as how Amish people call everyone else English.
That is. Do you find that is that supposed to be derogatory? I just
no. I don't think it's derogatory. I just think it's weird and just like the wrong
seems term. Wrong because people who aren't Amish are also not necessarily English. Like
yeah.
I'm not English.
Nope.
But I am if you're Amish.
In regards to the Amish, I am in English. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a vibe. I just like to be referred. I want people to refer to me as a textile.
I'm cool with that.
That was really a big takeaway for me.
I identify as a textile. Textiles.
I identify as a textile. I'm putting it in my bios. Okay. But all of that kind of broken down, I thought we had to discuss a little bit what I feel like in the grade school, middle school, you know, version of nudism or naturists, whatever I was hearing. Nudist colonies, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what you hear about.
Yeah. People be like, oh, well, they live in a nudist colony. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, there's that nudist colony. And I'm like, colony. But that is, you know, a thing we hear about. So let's talk about perhaps the world's largest nudist colony.
Where is?
Shall we? Okay. So the world's largest nudist colony is the size of a small city. Oh. It is on the Mediterranean coast of France.
Mm.
This is climate. Where I'm going to give you a... Yeah, listen, I'll give you a French pronunciation here to the best of my ability. I did watch a video of pronunciation here. Mm-hmm. So according to the Chicago Tribune, the population of the naturist village Cap d'Agde in France swells up to 40,000 people during the summer months. These people don't wear clothes, as clothing is prohibited per the belief that nudity is a symbol of equality. Which I was like, I mean, it does remove a lot of status.
That's a from very interesting appearance. Take that I had not thought about.
Yeah. Right. The village has more than 180 businesses, a marina, and a stretch of the beach that measures 1.2 miles, about 2 kilometers. And though tourists may come here in the assumption that lewd acts are the norm, that is not the case. And the village is meant to be completely family friendly.
Okay.
So I wanted to look more into this place, Cape d'Agde.
Yeah.
And so according to Wikipedia, they said it has a large family-style naturist resort. And it's also not all of this community. Like, it's a resort. It's this naturist part of it. But there are communities, like, in Cape d'Agde around it that aren't nudist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I read about this, and folks described it as a large fenced-off part of the northeastern edge of Cape d'Agde, although it is accessible along the public beach from the east.
Mm.
It's a self-contained town, sometimes referred to as the, quote, naked city. Not mad about it.
Not at all.
And where nudity is legal and common in the whole resort. And more on this, because originally I tell you in what I heard from the Tribune that clothing was prohibited. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to tell you some stuff from Wikipedia that sounds like it's not prohibited. And we'll get into kind of a timeline, because my understanding is it's shifted.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So folks say in the evening when it gets colder, more people are dressed, sometimes in revealing clothing. I'm like,
okay. I was going to ask about that in particular.
Right. About like revealing clothing or just like when it's colder?
When it's colder. When you said that clothing was prohibited, I was like, well, I promise at like 7 or 8 o'clock when the sun starts to go down, I'm going to be freezing.
Right. I mean, it seems like, yeah, I don't know. So a local tourist tax is charged per person per day. And I was like, okay, like get your ski pass. At the far end of naturism ethics, the village is also becoming a hotspot for swingers and libertines. Okay.
Mm.
So the naturist village is a town by itself. Again, we've got the beach, the marina. There are like 2,500 campsites. There are apartment complexes, hotels, shops, restaurants, nightclubs, bars, post office, bank, whoa, and ATMs, laundrettes, hairdressers, and other facilities. And I just want to point out, I always love the businesses that folks choose to highlight and show normalcy. They're like ATMs, laundrettes. I'm like, okay, we get it. People, you know, pay money and wash their clothes. Or what? Laundrettes. What are you laundering? Bedding. I don't know. Towels. We can't know.
Oh, yeah. I guess mostly towels. Cleaning supply. Cleaning rags.
Yeah, maybe. We can't know. Your laundry bill and dry cleaning would be cheaper, I assume. Mm-hmm. I assume. So, the history of this area, right? So, the land adjoining the Long Sandy Beach was owned for many years by the Ultra family, who farmed the olive groves behind the sand dunes adjoining the beach, which I'm like, what an ideal life. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to move somewhere and farm the olive groves, honestly.
I'll inherit that,
honestly,
please.
That seems great. But so after the Second World War, the Brothers Ultra noticed that people were becoming increasing, you know, in numbers to camp, like to this area on their land. People were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of these folks like to bathe and to sunbathe in the nude, which I'm like, the French, you know, it's very French to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the Ultra Brothers began to formalize arrangements for campers on their land, and this subsequently led to the creation of the Ultra Club, which is a caravanning and camping resort.
Hmm.
So the camp grew increasingly popular, especially with young families, and lots of German and Dutch tourists in particular.
Okay.
And it seemed to me, like when I was going, you know, through this in general, lots of interest in nudist and, you know, naturist colonies from the Germans and the French in particular.
I was going to say that based on your earlier comments.
For sure. So in the early 1970s, the government drew up plans for the development of this coastline.
Mm.
And naturism initially had no part in these proposals, but Paul René Ultra, who's one of the brothers, he persuaded the authorities to include plans for a naturist resort at Cap d'Agde.
Mm.
So in 1973, the beach was officially designated a naturist beach, which, okay, you know, the 70s feels, mm-hmm, right.
That's definitely.
And right. And so regulations for the new resort were also, you know, made official, all the things, all the laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the naturist village would be a place where voyeurs and exhibitionists would not be welcome.
Okay.
And I think it's interesting that they called that out because on some level, as I guess, you know, a textile layperson, I was like, how is this different from exhibitionism? You know, we've done an episode on that before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just the intention is different, but I don't know how you monitor, like,
yeah,
the attendance intentions. You know, like, if you're there because you want to commune with nature and, like, you want to feel free, or if you're there because, like, you really like to have other people look at your body.
100%.
And when you said that, like, swingers and stuff, it, like, started to attract them, that made me feel like, I don't know, I think if I were a naturist or what is it? What is the term?
A naturist, yeah.
If I were a naturist who lived at or visited this colony, I think that I would feel like our, I don't know, way of life perhaps was like threatened a little bit if people,
sure,
were going on like swinger vacations. And that's fine. Like, do that if you want to. But it just inherently sexualizes the situation if you're like on a trip to hook up with other people, and you're coming to a nudist colony. On my ideal
sexual wine trip with Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Pitt. Go on.
Yeah, that tells me that you find this colony erotic, and then something changes.
Totally. Totally. And maybe that in some ways has some parallels to, you know, talking about whose gaze it's through, like we were talking about, like the male gaze in art and film. And then you have like a swinger gaze on like nudism. Like that is a different vibe, right? So in terms of the early development here, the first developments were at Port Nature and Port Ambonne or Ambonne.
Port Nature and Port Bonne?
Ambonne. I don't, it's all one word. It's, but yeah, there, I mean, there's something to joke about there for sure. But there were flats and shops and, you know, pools. And later, these folks kind of built out in a way that was really kind of considerably extended. It seemed like it went from like campgrounds to like kind of like loose, like beachy, tiny community to then feeling like more of like this big resort, right?
Yeah.
And the flats were sold, and then owners often would like rent them out to people when they weren't staying there, you know, early Airbnb lifestyle, whatever. So the naturist village became a kind of controlled zone during the season with regulated access, and everyone entering was kind of informed of their regulations and required to comply with them. So that's how they're kind of trying to crack down on this exhibitionism or whatever. So then in the 1980s, all right, so by like the early 80s, the village is kind of reaching its limit of development. You know, lots of shops, commercial premises, you know. There were some spaces that were empty and like ready for sale or lease. And as like the government in France like changed hands, you know, there was kind of a cooling off of the French economy that lasted for, you know, a decade or so. And during this time, the naturist village continued to prove to be this really popular resort. And it developed an easy kind of pleasant atmosphere, as you do. And again, tons of German visitors, so many that the post office there had a designated box for letters and postcards being sent to Germany, which is just something I liked.
Yeah.
The Germans are about this life. So in terms of kind of like the present position of this community, again, this like this is where it's become kind of this hot spot for swingers. And there are, you know, developments of like sex shops and swinger clubs in this area. And their swingers are also kind of like active on the beaches, which makes a lot of naturist tourists change, you know, their designation to another like real, actual, like family friendly kind of resort. So the naturist village has rules requiring nudity as the norm. And there, here's some things here that I like, which bans photography.
That's good.
And then it also bans the wearing of provocative clothing and the display of indecent items. So it's like you, they're...
Can't be walking around with nipple clamps like, on.
Exactly. I was going to say, you know, you can be naked, but you can't be like dressed for bondage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So... And I appreciated the ban of photography because, like, that's what if this is your community? But then, like, tourists are coming and they're just, like, taking pictures of you because you're naked and they're, like, on the internet. Like, there's, like, a lot of consent issues there, especially if you're being sexualized, you know?
And I think nudity for everyone is actually really an important rule because if someone's coming there, like, as a tourist in clothing, that, like, ups the voyeuristic element. Like, you have to be willing to also be naked and, like, be this vulnerable in order to be around all of these naked people. You can't just, like, come in and take a look.
Yeah, totally. That's very real. That makes sense. It's like, yeah, you're either part of this, but it's not a spectator sport or something, you know? And so the... You know, I guess by the time it was like, you know, 08, they had, you know, signs on the beach that warned against lewd behavior, which makes sense again, because the beach is still kind of connected to the textile beach, if you will. Right. And so there are clubs and like smaller venues, you know, including shops and bars here. Right. And, you know, nightlife centers with all of that. Right. But many open only at certain times of the year. And in November of 2008, the Sunday Times, which is a British paper, suggested that fires at three swingers clubs were the work of hardline naturists.
Oh my God.
Who opposed these folks coming in.
That's not okay, but I'm just going to say, like, I understand that feeling. And I think that I would not burn down the club, but that's not right. Sure. But like, I would be mentally kind of like on the side of the people who were like, maybe like swingers mm-hmm. are not super welcome here, because to me, it feels very much like, and there are so few lesbian bars. So when you go to like a gay or lesbian bar and there are
right.
couples there who are trolling for a third, like this is not the place for that. And it makes it feel unsafe. Like, there's just not a reason for, like, a heterosexual couple to come to a gay bar to do that. And I understand you think this is, like, where bi people or who people who will, like, have sex with your girlfriend where they are. But, like, mm-hmm. you can't just, like, come in here and, like, try to pick someone. I don't know. There's a really uncomfortable feeling about that when it happens.
I think that's a really good
It feels like
comparison.
Not a safe space anymore.
Yeah. 100%. And I feel like there's a lot of this, you know, I think about organizations in Chicago this summer that were, you know, are organizations that are predominantly, you know, supporting like our trans community or Black communities or people of color, who kind of had to say like, hey, like white people or like cis people, like we're like, it's cool that you want to help, but you need to understand this isn't like your community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a fine line. I think there's a lot to consider that when anyone goes into a space that like isn't quote unquote theirs,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. And again, just like if you're a swinger going to the nudist colony, or if you're a man going into a lesbian bar with your girlfriend, like you're there to like get something, and it's gross.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. So in 2009, Rene Ultra, which is the company, okay, that bears the name of the original promoter of the resort, mm-hmm. required visitors to its campsite and villas and flats or wherever they're staying there to belong to a naturist organization.
That's a good move.
But because of some, like, you know, abuses of Cape de Agde, you know, it's no longer this agreed or supported thing by the, you know, Naturist Federation, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, because it's become so swingery, you know, they're trying, there are people there
sexual.
In the community trying to lock it down and be like, no, you have to be part of this group. But it's hard because it's become so kind of voyeuristic, swingy, sexualized, that the organizations that like help promote naturism are like, no, we're not really about that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for them to kind of protect it, which tough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the Naturist Village creates employment and revenue in a region of France that is less affluent than a lot of other regions, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it creates, you know, a lot of income for like the local authority through property taxes and admission prices. So it's an interesting kind of financial ecosystem,
yeah.
I'll say too.
And I'm assuming you have to be
the community.
You have to be nude to work there, like in a shop or a hair salon, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, and I feel like in you know, most ways or whatever, it seems like, you know, the people who are running these businesses are, in theory, part of the community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like it would be, I'm sure maybe there are, you know, some of these folks who are coming in with these, like, swingers clubs or whatever, who maybe are less so a part of the community. But and maybe like outsiders, but I would think most of the people who would want to work there, like who are about naturism, would be about naturism.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't be like, well, I guess I got to get naked to go to work. It's so weird.
No,
you know?
It's like a part of your life and you're glad that you get to go to work naked.
100%. And just as like a sidebar, because I don't want to live here forever because I like escapism, but in 2020, the COVID pandemic and, you know, the testing of this village was not great for COVID. It was like 30% of the 800 naturists had tested positive in like September. And under normal circumstances at the time, like obviously much reduced during the pandemic, the village itself held about 10,000 campsites, you know, 15,000 beds, and a population density that, you know, was 7 times greater than like the largest nearby city.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I, you know, I feel like I had some kind of greater compassion for the community after kind of reading about some of the stuff
Me too.
They were trying to grapple with of like, stop sexualizing us in a way that I was like, wow, like the comedy of naturism and nudism has really not helped this group the way we've just been like, look at these naked people.
It has not. I'm sure that it has not helped. But I don't know. I'm really like identifying with that. Maybe anger isn't the right word, but like irritation with someone kind of just like sexualizing a way that you would choose to naturally be. Just saying that like, you know, lesbians have our sexuality objectified by a large percentage of the population.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. That's you know what, this is a through line that I didn't anticipate, but
I didn't either.
Perfect sense to me. You're like, wow, I'm really identifying with naturists. Who knew? Things you didn't know you were going to say going into this podcast. God bless. So do you feel like through that like conversation and just kind of general understanding of nudism, you have a different perspective on them at all?
I feel like I have a much greater understanding. And I feel like I maybe ideologically line up with them more than I anticipated, because I think I didn't understand it in the same way that I didn't understand like environmentalists when I was a kid. But now I do.
Okay. Say more. Yeah.
I don't like, I was talking about this the other day. Like, I feel like when we were in elementary school and we saw like people sleeping in redwood trees so that they wouldn't get cut down, that was like often talked about as like, look at these crazy people like up in a.
That's true.
But like now as an adult, I'm like, no, that's an irreplaceable thing that exists on the earth. And like that cannot grow back for a long, long time. And like, why would we ever cut that down? Like that seems like the crazy thing now. And so in a similar way, I think I've always thought of nudists as maybe like overly sexual or something like to be laughed at. And now after this conversation, I think I realized that like ideologically we're pretty similar, and that the crazy ones are perhaps the textiles who are there to sexualize them, actually.
Do you think that nudism would ever like quote unquote take off and become like more of a norm than it is?
If it did, I think that it would be like a sexual revolution around respect. Like I think that if naturalism became like something that a large percent, and when I say a large percent, I mean like even like a quarter or 30% of the population engaged.
Even if there were just like a city, like if you think about just the U.S., if they were just like a city in every state or something.
Yeah, yeah. So that like people were encountering it a little bit, and maybe we're able to encounter it like for its values rather than kind of like the surface reaction of someone outside of naturalism who like responds like maybe erotically automatically to a naked body. I think that it would help take down like the way that we objectify each other if we were all doing it. But also with that, I think comes a lot of risk, because like I'm not at a place in the world where I feel like comfortable walking down the street naked for my personal safety. But if we all did it for like 100 years, I think we could maybe be in like a better place with each other.
Sure. And on some level, it's interesting because I think about like, okay, like, yeah, you know, people could go like real creationist, biblical on you and be like, yeah, people put on clothes because they were ashamed, Adam and Eve, whatever. But clothing and like is evolutionary, like tools. It's like people were like, oh, you mean like I can protect myself by, you know, putting on clothes that protect me or keep me warm,
dip my foot
or like
in
whatever
this rubber?
It is. Exactly. So, it, you know, it's an evolutionary thing.
Because
mind
we
you.
Evolved mentally to be able to live in colder climates. Like if we didn't figure out how to make clothes, like we'd all have to like live around the equator still.
Well, and not just colder climates, but you think about just like walking through the brush or something, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm really here for the rubber shoes in the South American, you know?
Sure. Do you feel like barefoot runners are a gateway drug to nudism? Because I did wonder that at one point during this research.
Oh my.
Just throwing it out there, you know, why not?
I kind of do, because I think it's the same thing about like being like connected to the earth. Like I think that the feeling of running barefoot, while it's like not something that I enjoy because of the smacking.
The smacking.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, barefoot running stresses me out, but people have a lot of feelings about it, and I'm stressed by it, but I know people did it for hundreds of years, so I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do. I do see like a connect for maybe people who like those toe shoes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those are barefoot. That's the start of barefoot running. You got to get those barefoot runners shoes. And then ultimately somehow you end up with your naked feet in the soil. We can't know.
Absolutely. Because they are experiencing like something with a bare part of their body interacting with nature, not with another human being. And I think that that's like what naturalism is doing. It's like my nude body just interacting with the environment.
Yeah. I don't know that I foresee myself ever being comfortable with it. And it's interesting because I think one of the things that stood out the most to me that was like an interesting perspective, and we kind of paused on it for a moment, but was just it being like an equalizer, because we have created so much status, you know, around fashion and clothing and the brands and labels and expense of whatever people are wearing. It's such a cultural phenomenon, right? I mean, we have events that are just about clothes, right? And I don't know how that would ever be like removed from a society, because there's so much emotion around it and also so much money wrapped up in it. But
and it's like a culture, fashion is like a cultural conversation, and it wouldn't ever go away.
No, I don't think so. But it does make me also wonder though, like if we were less like wrapped up with clothes, like what would be, I feel like we have to put that status energy somewhere else. We would
replace it. Oh my God, you're right.
Like, would we all care more about cars or our homes?
Would we get really into like elaborate tattooing? Like, at like a lot of people? Tattoos?
Would we all have like a lot of piercings that were like really expensive? Like, would just body mod be different? I will say a lot of the nudists I saw, there was a fair amount of tattooing going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe a person.
Which made sense to me.
It makes sense to me, too, because I feel like body modification is not the same thing, obviously, but it's still kind of like a relationship with your body where you have to be like intimately kind of like looking at it and aware of it, because you're watching part of your body change, like stretch or become tattooed. And that similar awareness I could see growing into or being like adjacent to a desire to like be naked.
Totally. Makes some sense to me. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I haven't seen this many naked people in a long time, though. And that's what I'll say about that. I experienced a lot of nudity, and I was fine with it. That's what I'll say, you know?
I'm just going to ask, I think, like, one of the questions that maybe everyone is thinking, and there's not going to be an answer. But, like, are they having to, like, sanitize, like, all of the, like, outdoor seating or indoor seating, restaurants, etc.? Like, I mean, like, people shart sometimes, not to be too graphic, but like.
Oh, yeah. What happens about the times that you would have like shit your pants on, but you don't have pants on? That seems like an important.
Or you start your period or you pee a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do wonder about menstruation.
I would have like dribbles down my leg from after laughing.
I mean, yeah. Or like, what? Like, are you just walking around with like a tampon string just hanging?
I feel like naturalists are probably cup people, you know?
Maybe.
If I had to stereotype.
I saw some women in like Floridian communities who were, you know, mostly naked, but like rocking a little sarong or something.
I saw that in the nudist doc that I watched also, that I'm now wondering if it was like at this place, because it was definitely like Mediterranean plants and shit, but I can't know.
We can't know. Maybe. Could have been. What did you feel like the documentary sexualized folks in it, or?
The reporter was like asking a lot of questions that were kind of loaded. And I don't remember like exactly what they were because it was a long time ago, but I remember the feeling of that, like the guy who was a naturalist who was being interviewed really not giving the reporter the answers that he wanted. Like, he was way less sexual than the reporter expected, and like kept stressing that it was like really not about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. The more you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I think on that note, perhaps in true Why Are You Like This fashion, we ought to pivot into a verbal game.
We ought to cue it.
Cue the vibraphone. Okay, so I've got a would you rather for you this week. And I was thinking a lot about this, about like the closed communities or the not closed communities, and just like the nudity of it all, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to propose two kind of life choices for you.
I'm ready.
So one choice is that you are a part of a nudism naturalist, or excuse me, naturist community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And through that, you know, you are living nude, you're without clothes, not sure. One of these Gentile-y textile-ies, right? With that, you can leave your community whenever you want. You can travel wherever. But you are also, like, through that, really, like, not wearing a lot of clothes. Like, you're just really in it, and you're taking that to, like, wherever you go. And that's okay. Kind of the lifestyle that you are a part of, right?
Not and a so lot of going, clothes or no clothes?
I'm going to say if we're putting you, like, fully naked in the wrong situation, it could lead to, like, arrest. And so... Okay. I just don't want that to be on the table, I guess is what I'm saying. It's just, I want it to be clear that wherever you are, you're like definitely a nudist.
I'm as you know? Naked as is legal everywhere.
Yes, 100%. And then alternatively, you are not a part of, you know, naturism at all, right? You don't mm-hmm. exist in that community, but you can't travel. You can't leave the town you live in ever.
Oh, God.
What do you choose?
I really think that I choose to be the traveling naturalist.
Okay.
Because I think I value like seeing the world and like having like a variety of experiences so much. Like I really think it would be crippling to be forced to stay in the same like city my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like, I don't know, there may be some good things that could happen in my brain from being a naturalist, perhaps. It would definitely okay. be like really a lot to like navigate socially. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe in a few years, you just kind of get like a core group of friends that are like very unbothered. And I feel that most of my close friends would be like totally chill about it. So
do you feel like if you like told your friends and family, you're like, so I'm moving to like a nudist community. This is like my lifestyle. Like, how do you feel like that would be received?
I don't know. I think that my friends would have like some questions just real quick to make sure that I wasn't like flying into like a dissociative fugue or something.
Sure. Joining a cult.
Yeah. Or just like there's like extreme mania happening. So yeah, sure. After like maybe those initial checks, I think that they would probably just like ask me a lot of questions about why. And I would hopefully be able to answer them.
I feel like if one of my friends like truly did this, I would like to think it'd be really, I would be really evolved, but I would be like concerned.
I feel like before doing this episode, I would have been concerned, but I feel like now knowing what I know about like the values behind it, I feel much more assured about it. And it's also like not connected to a religion. So there's not like a cult element happening.
Yeah. Right.
It feels like an environment of equality, although I can't be sure. And so that's positive. But yeah, I think if I had a friend that was doing it, I would just like ask if it was okay for me to ask them a lot of questions. And I would also, I think, be curious to go visit them.
Yeah, have your nude time.
Not necessarily because I want to be naked, but just because it's something that maybe initially feels uncomfortable to me that other people are passionate about, and I'd like to understand that.
Listen, that's this podcast.
would you do it differently or no?
I don't know. It's really tough because I really like don't know how I would integrate that lifestyle into my current relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the thing that would be the hardest part, that I wouldn't anticipate people being like open to that. And I just am like imagining being at the dinner table with my very clothed family being like not clothed, yep. like me, you know, I'm like, that feels, I don't know how I would do that. I really don't.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I also don't strive to be trapped in a community. I could see if you were asking me to make this change at like 65, I would have less reservations.
I'd have less reservations on both sides, I think, at 65.
Oh, I would be more compelled to like be still trying to see the world at 65 and ensuring that I wasn't trapped in one place, like as, you know, a more even hopefully, we hope, evolved adult. But I would be way, I think, less concerned about like, what about these other things I wanted to do that like my nudity could prohibit in society, you know?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a quick would you rather for you as well. So,
oh, okay, go on.
It will require you to compare and contrast two types of vulnerability. So,
okay, wow, I'm ready.
That's not that serious.
That's a pretty loaded intro. Go on. Mm-hmm. Scared.
I guess in every area of your life, would you rather always be pantsless? Like you can wear a top and you can wear underwear, but you can't wear like pants or a skirt ever. So it's like a Pooh Bear situation all the time.
Could I wear, be like wearing like long shirts that were kind of dressed like, or is my ass always out?
I feel like it's important that your underwear is always visible.
Okay, okay. Just trying to clarify. Because I've been known to wear men's XL t-shirts as dresses, so I just...
That's what I was going to say, is then we're in dress territory and, and we're back to textile world, so that's not going to work.
Sure,
yeah. And I'm letting you wear underwear and a shirt.
Which I appreciate. It's generous. Like that's generous.
Okay, so...
Oh, you don't know about the shirt situation, you know? We didn't solve for that yet, so I appreciate this.
And you can have a tampon string, nobody would know, anyway.
Nobody would know. Nobody would know.
That, or... have to be completely honest about like your reactions to things with all people at all times. So like you're in a work meeting and like your superior has like a horrible idea and asks you what you think. Like you have to answer honestly. A relative maybe like does something dumb and instead of like being really soft and maybe fibbing a little bit about it, you have to like really tell them exactly how you feel about it.
But I don't have to be rude, right? I just have to say the
truth.
You do
not. You just, like, have to be totally honest about your feelings all the time.
I think I'm taking the bluntness. I'm going to be totally honest.
Okay. Yeah, I think I
have to
also. That's
really hard, but actually in this weird twist of things, especially when you brought in, like, the professional bit, and then you think about personal relationships where maybe you don't totally speak it all the way to people exactly what you mean. I actually think in some ways... it would like force me into more authentic situations where I felt free to be exactly who I am.
And isn't that the point of naturalism? Wow.
Oh, maybe that's how we achieve it. Maybe if you're not ready to be naked, just tell more of the truth.
I didn't mean to like so neatly wrap it up like that, but I am.
And yet,
pleased.
I'm not mad at you. So listen, y'all, on that note, if you want to tell us the truth, or about your naked times, no dick pics, please. We're not soliciting.
For
that
sure,
kind of thing.
No. God.
Listen, that's that's always true. Okay,
but it's very 2009 always, you of you, also.
Truly, honestly, yeah. But as always, you can find us on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And like, good night, good morning, good day. See you on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.